Welcome to Podcasts, recorded live at the Center for Spiritual Living in Portland, Oregon. We have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the Online tab. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its video podcast, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.
Good morning, and happy Mother's Day. Yes, yeah. So, you know, being a mother is a pretty cool thing. You know, it's pretty amazing. I mean, each of us know, you know, that we came from the womb of that woman. And in many cases, it was a woman who dearly, dearly loved you from the moment of conception and dearly, dearly loves you even today, wherever it is that they are in this cosmos. Yes? Yeah. And so, you know, as a mother myself, I sometimes wish it would just stop, you know, just for a minute, just for a minute, so I can hold this moment forever. You know those moments where everything is perfect? You know, your child is just for a moment really wants to express how much they love you. And we know sometimes that can't be real often. I mean, sometimes it may not be like at all. You know, these kids that we give birth to and that we look at, these teenagers, adolescents that are upstairs, very interesting people they come to be, yes? Yeah, they have just, well, a mind of their own, right? You know, and if you know, don't you love it when you hear older people say, when I was a kid? When I was a kid, I just wasn't as brave. I would have loved to have been like today's kids. I think they're brilliant. I think they're amazing. And they probably don't treat their mothers a whole lot better or different. You know, it's not until they get to be a little older that they gain that appreciation. Usually upon bringing their own kids in, and then their mom sits back and goes, just you wait. Just you wait. It is an amazing, amazing gift. And all of us are able to give birth. We give birth to ideas. We give birth to art. We give birth to ourselves. We actually are able to give birth to ourselves. And I'm thinking of the, you know, it just now that occurred to me that when I first arrived at Centers for Spiritual Living, which was, of course, known then as Religious Science, I had actually, let me back up just a minute, I had actually sat on the outside receiving newsletters. How they ended up coming to my house, I don't know. But there was a newsletter from the Huntington Beach Church of Religious Science in California. And if you knew at that time, it was a place to be. Everybody knew about the Huntington Beach Church of Religious Science. And I would get, it was actually a newspaper, you know, with lots of pages in it and, you know, big. And I would read it and feel not worthy to go there. Yeah. Do you think I needed this church? Do you think I needed this teaching? I was unworthy. And so, you know, some things happened and somebody else put me in touch with another center, and I ended up going there and never did. I lived in Huntington Beach, by the way. Never did attend that Huntington Beach Church of Religious Science. Whatever. I'm damn worthy now. You know, aren't we? Yes. You all are. All of us. All of us. I mean, even not just us because we're here, right? Not just us because, you know, we've been studying this and know this. But everyone deserves this teaching. But you can't force it, can you? You can't force feed it to anybody. And so what I have come to believe about this is that there is something in us when we come here, in life. I don't mean come to the church. I mean when we come in here in life, and there is something in us that has a need, that is a need, that needs to be fulfilled. And whether it's a nature or nurture, you know, that comes along, it dictates what it is we're gonna need. And what I find, what I have discovered about the people that come to the Centers for Spiritual Living or to Unity or to any of the other new thought churches and teaching and principles, because it's not just a matter of coming to church on Sunday. It's not. But it's a great beginning. But it becomes a way of life. A way of walking through this world. And the difference between back then and now for me is impossible. You don't go. That's not possible for somebody to go from there unworthy to attend a certain church to hear addressing a church. And yet, these are the gifts, right, that we have. And so this Sunday, this talk is called The Value-Led Life. And so values, we know what values are. And what we want to do and think about, based on this message today, what we want to think about is what, in fact, are our values? What are my values? Well, what a change, such an amazing change between where I was before and where I am now. Because what I have been given and introduced to are these principles. And what I have discovered about principles is they don't change. But based on principles, our values change. Values are not solid. They're not, this is my value. I mean, if you are the kind of person who says, this is my value and it will never change and it is, that's how it is, you probably, you know, aren't real comfortable with this topic. what I've got to say, because what I believe and know is that values grow. They develop in us, and we have this certain value in our life, and from that we live. From that particular value. So a principle is that there is one source of life. There is this infinite intelligence. There is this expansion of intelligence that is constant, an expansion of the universe. So with these principles, I had to add one more, and that there is only one life. So there is this source that is all, that exists in and as and through each and every one of us. And that is the principle. The value that can come out of that is life-changing. If you have not lived from values and principles prior to arriving here and beginning to study, one of the primary values that we have in this church is that there is only one life. One life. And that means that you and I are one. That means, speaking of values, that there is no less or more value for anyone. Not for anyone. And those were words, you know, that Jesus taught us, right? We read what Jesus said, not necessarily what Paul had to say, okay? You know, but if you just focus on what Jesus had to say, love your neighbor as yourself. And you don't get to choose who your neighbor is. What I have found that it's very easy to take that principle that we are one, to take that principle and to hold on to it. And when I have come to the place that I totally accept that principle, there is no longer an afterthought that comes to mind when I say there is one life. I know in my mind, in my beingness, in every cell of my being, what I mean by that, what that means to me. Then I also go and move. So what else does that mean? It means that we are all an aspect of the one. All. When we say all, for those of us that are here and have participated in this teaching and invited this teaching into our lives to change us, to help us grow and become all that we can be, then we realize, one of my favorite words, we realize that no one is better than you or I. No one is less. No one is less. So when it comes to loving my neighbor, I have the freedom of not having to pick and choose who that means. You don't have to tell me about yourself for me to know that we are connected. We are connected in ways beyond our imagination. But I can take that value and live by it and make decisions based on that value. and I can go from there. We can go on and on. Ernest Holmes writes, in The Science of Mind, releasing the weight of past limiting beliefs and judgments frees us to rise up in faith, which is mental assertion elevated to the plane of realization. I love this sentence because it is so typical an Ernest Holmes sentence. I mean, you need to break it down to hear what he says, right? I mean, I did. I been doing this for a while now, so I do pretty well. No, but I remember reading something like that the first time and being, what? What? So let's break it down. Releasing the weight of past limiting beliefs. Anybody come in here with limiting beliefs? You know, anybody that I wasn't worthy to go to a particular church, that was a belief. So if I wasn't worthy to do that, what else was I not worthy to do? What else was I not up to in this life? And if I was unworthy, what does that say about what I believed about the people who did go there? They were so much better than me. So much better than me. You think that's a limiting belief? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And as, you know, we go through this process of becoming a religious scientist, it is a process. It is a growth that occurs when we participate. And there is nothing I can think of that will give you a more enhanced life than accepting that principle that we are one. God is in each and every one of us. It is the spark of life that is in you. It resides in you and waits for your recognition. You can sleep right through it and never have discovered. In my family, we're Catholics. I was raised Catholic. And I am the only one in the family that left the church. And of course, I left it in a great big way. I mean, I just didn't go to some other Christian church. I just denied that Jesus died for my sins. Just a baffling, baffling statement to me. I don't understand. But I do understand the words that Jesus spoke. I do understand the words, even they're tricky. It's worth figuring out Ernest Holmes. It is so worth figuring out how to read his books. Because what he gives us is a way to think if we choose to. And what I have discovered from the moment I walked into that religious center, religious science church, what I found was I was remembering. Did any of you feel like that when you first came and heard these words spoken from a podium? I remembered. The first year I cried every single Sunday during the message because it was so profound to me, so different. I can remember one time in a class and I was, you know, what I used was that humor where you put yourself down. you know, because I didn't want anybody else to do it. And so it was just part of my vocabulary and the way I spoke. And my teacher, Reverend Jim Terrell, when I did this one time, he said, "Kathy, get a life." Because you and I know, when somebody does that, like puts themselves down, they're telling you where they're at, you know, what they believe. I don't do that anymore. I don't put myself down. I had an experience that I have frequently now, but I remember the very first time as I sat in silence and tried to dwell on spirit, tried to dwell on spirit in me and just sat there. And, you know, I'm not a great sitter. I fidget and want to move around and I want to get up and run around and do this. And so it was real difficult. And it had been. I'd been practicing. I certainly didn't have this happen the very first time I gave this a try. But anyway, so I quieted myself and I was sitting there and inviting and invoking spirit the best that I knew how. And a warmth washed over me. And something was changing right here. I could feel, as my teacher called it, a felt experience. I could feel love just coming from me. It's the most amazing experience the first time that you have that you have that moment where there is in fact better in there is in truth a felt connection between you and your creator, you and the divine presence. Divine presence is what I am most comfortable in saying, because I feel the presence. I experience the presence. And it is available anytime I wish to take a moment and experience that. It's life-changing. Absolutely life-changing, because I can't be sad and down and upset with the whole world and whatever and then have this experience and then go back to that. I am lifted. I am lifted even if it's just a little bit. When I sit and commune with my God, I am lifted. So these are the things that have enabled me to really determine what my values are. Because I have these principles to grow on, to invite into my body, my being, my mind, to see if this is where I am. Do I believe this? Do I own this? Do I feel this? And if the answer is yes, then I can no longer complain. I have nothing to complain about. That never stopped me in the past. You know, I could always find something to complain about, but I can't complain. I can no longer insult you on purpose. I can't tell a little lie. My behavior has changed because it was a growth process. Whereas I accepted these principles and built these values, that there was a part of me that could no longer cheat in any way. In any way. I had to live a life that felt right. And suddenly, I am experiencing feelings when I live outside of this paradigm. When I am no longer honoring myself and others around me, it doesn't feel good. It's hard, it's sad, it's painful, it's ridiculous, it's, you know, whatever. And being human, you know, all that stuff happens, right? Are there any other humans in the world, you know? And yeah, we're here and we are growing and living and experiencing and coming to know. I love that because everything that I have learned, I have come to know. I didn't know it. I didn't understand it. And yet, with all the reading, with the classes, with the praying, with all of that, gently, lovingly, steadily, I changed. My son is a drug addict, and he's doing very well. You know, he's got a job, first time in over 10 years since he's had a job. And he loves it. He loves it. A lot of responsibility. I mean, it just is a perfect job for him. But I used to live in fear, absolute fear for his life. And how could I not? He was homeless. You know, he was a meth addict, and there was just too many ways that he could be harmed to even think about. And they weren't like, you know, remote possibilities. He lived in that. And so I went into my worry one day and refused to give it up. Refused. I just couldn't imagine not worrying about him. I am his mother. But I had a voice as I was worrying and praying that beseeching prayer. I could do affirmative prayers everywhere except where he was concerned. I would become so pitiful and just beseech, you know? Yeah. It was pathetic. I had this voice and it said, stop it. Stop worrying. Just love him. And I went, I love him. Of course I love him. He is my son. Of course I love him. That's what this is about. I wouldn't worry if I didn't love him so much. No. The worry is about you. You don't want to be upset. You don't want to be sad. You don't want to, and because there was a lot of anger wrapped up in that worry, you know, a lot of anger. But I didn't know that at the time. Just love him. So I decided to try. So every time I would think of him, before it could become a worry, I would focus on how much I loved him. I would focus on what a beautiful boy he was. And even today, what a great son. He really was. He is a great son. He's wonderful. And something happened. When I loved him, there was no room for worry. That meant there was no room for resentment. There was no room to be angry with him for his living the life he was living. And he noticed it. A few months after I started this, he came over to the house to visit, as he would do. And he'd say, "Mom, you've changed. You have changed." And I said, "What?" And he said, you don't yell at me anymore. I would yell, I would beg, I would do anything, begging him to get clean. You can imagine. Because I wanted to stop worrying. I don't worry. And we have a very close a relationship as you can have with a drug addict. I am very close to him. And he loves me the way he loves me. And I love it. Of course, I wish he was no longer a drug addict. But I don't get that choice. You know, we don't get to choose what our children do or become. And I have these other two girls, these two daughters, who are marvelous and wonderful, and both of them have done amazing things with their life. So I don't get to take credit for those two girls, because that means I have to take blame for the son. And what I know is who I have become based on what I went out and learned and got and received. I didn't stay with what the principles and the rules and all of that I was raised with. They didn't work for me. They didn't work for me. But this has given me this life that I have. And so I am so very, very grateful to be here in front of you today on this gorgeous Mother's Day. And I just hope everybody has a beautiful, beautiful day going forward. And remember to work with the principles and allow them to show you what your values are. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you happen to be in the Portland, Oregon area, we'd love to have you visit in person. The Portland Center for Spiritual Living is located at 6211 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Our inspirational service is at 11 a.m. every Sunday. We also have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the online tab. We have a variety of content dedicated specifically for our podcast listeners. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its podcasts, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Our website is also the place to learn more about what's going on at the center or to contact us. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.